Welcome back to the 20 years of WNEW-FM. Some of you may remember back in the early 70s when Dave Herman used to end his rock and roll morning show with this.
Well, thank you very much, and now I think it's time for us all to go. So from all of us to all of you, not forgetting the boys in the band and our producer, Reg Thorpe, we'd like to say, God bless. So if you're out tonight, don't forget, if you're on your bike, wear white.
Evening.
And this is Dave Herman. How you all doing? I was working on a now defunct radio station here in New York, the old WABC-FM, late in 1971, when Scott Muni called me and said, how'd you like to come to work at WNEW-FM? And I said, how much money you want to pay me? And he told me, and I said, they're paying me five times that. So that was the end of that conversation. Then about 2 months, that's the truth. Then about 2 months later, he called again. And he said, how'd you like to work for WNEW-FM? But of course, at that time, I no longer had a job. So he got me good and cheap. And I said, I'd love to work for WNEW-FM. And of course, meant that. I said, which shift? He said, the morning show. I said, the morning show? Because I had been working late at night for the few years before that. I says, nobody listens to rock and roll on the radio early in the morning. I don't want to do that. And he said, yes, you do. And he said, trust me, I'll make you a star. And I said, okay. And so starting on the 22nd day of May, 1972, I started to do the morning show here on WNEW-FM. And except for a couple of years, I have done it ever since and loved really most every minute of it. There were a few mornings, but most every minute of it. It seems pretty crazy all these years later, being such a fan and a crazy for Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band, that at one time, I really didn't pay very much attention to the records he was making, that first album at least. But then one night I was dragged down to the bottom line. It was Bruce's opening night there, and I literally couldn't believe what I saw. In fact, the next morning on the morning show, I actually apologized to the listeners of WNEW-FM for having ignored Bruce's music for so long. I'd never seen anything like it and actually couldn't wait for the next night to go back there and see the show again. This time we were broadcasting the show live on WNEW-FM. In fact, we got some of that right now here on WNEW-FM.
But Bruce really has to be seen to be believed. And of course, we can't bring him to you visually tonight, but we're going to do the next best thing and bring him to you live on the radio.
Well, that's kind of what's interesting about doing this broadcast. Wednesday night when I saw him, I knew we would be broadcasting him Friday night. And for a while, I just closed my eyes for about whole 20-minute segment to try to kind of feel what it's going to be like listening to him at home. And I really think that the magic and the excitement is going to carry through on the air.
Okay, Bruce is just passing us now, heading for the stage. So, and I think you heard him. He'll be with us in a very, very short period of time. Bruce's music, really, to me anyway, is New York City. Of course, his last album, The Wild, The Innocent, and The E Street Shuffle.
The E Street Band.
The E Street Band. And they're into their huddle now. Bruce has the ball on the 20-yard line. And we're just about set to go.
Oh, on the way in today, I was feeling really good. And I weighed in at a clean 135 pounds, man. And I'm ready to go out there right now. And I think I can take this guy in a few rounds. So I'll check it later, man.
Okay. For the heavyweight championship of the world now, we turn you over to the stage and Bruce Springsteen.
This
backstage now. Richard Neer of WNAW-FM.
Hey, Bruce. Bruce, good fight. You won, I think. 12 rounds, babe. 12 rounds.
I'm going about in the 10th round, you know, but I started lighting up a little and I started getting around in this section. But I think by the finish, I think they scored it right. What'd you think, Dave?
Your eyes pretty messed up, man. You fight again?
I'm going to take a break. Let me take a look.
Back into the trainer's room for a rub down and a cold shower, and Bruce will be okay. What a concert. What a concert. Back here with Dennis Elsis and Dave Herman, and I think any comments we might have would be superfluous at this point. You heard it. You didn't see it, unfortunately, and if you don't have tickets, you can't because it's sold out. Standing room lines were all the way around the block at 5 o'clock this afternoon. Dave, what do you think?
Maybe the best thing I can tell you is the kind of response they're getting at the bottom line throughout their performance on the phones. I guess people kind of dialing across their radio have been coming across this music and hearing something about the bottom line on the station breaks and not even realizing what's going on or what they're listening to. And the phones have been ringing all evening, hundreds of telephone calls with people just saying, who am I listening to? This is incredible.
And in closing, I would like to thank everybody who made this possible. We can't mention everyone by name, of course, but starting out with Columbia Records, Joseph Kevich and Irwin Siegelstein, who really pulled the whole thing through. The management, Laurel Canyon Management, Mike Appel, who also mixed the broadcast. Dennis McNamara for technical supervision, along with David Vanderhayden and Larry Brody. And of course, the owners of The Bottom Line, Alan Pepper and Stanley Snadowski. It was just an incredible concert.
And you forgot one group of people. Bruce Springsteen and the East Street Band, which is a very hard thing to say, because it always comes out Bruce Springsteen and the East Street Band, but it's Bruce Springsteen and the East Street Band.
Okay. What a night that was. Bruce Springsteen live at The Bottom Line over WNEW-FM in New York. And if that was one of our most triumphant moments in 20 years, one of our most bizarre moments occurred about a month and a half later, on October 6th, 1975. A young man took a number of hostages in a bank on 6th Avenue and ended up live on the radio with Scott Muni at WNEW-FM.
Oh, the ragman got circles up and down the block. I'd ask him what the matter was, but I know that he don't talk. And the ladies treat me kindly, and they finish me with tape. But deep inside my heart, I know I can't escape. Oh,
oh God, you got a lot of noise. Can you hear anything?
This really be the
yeah.
To be stuck in
Mobile, Memphis Blues again, right?
Right.
It's a great song. That's where I am, stuck inside of Mobile.
Well, I thought you definitely, you know, you, I know her having a problem right now.
Yeah, it's kind of a drag, you know, but like I've gone this far, and here I am, like I can't get out.
I didn't mean that with this stuck inside of Memphis
uh-huh.
and all that. That's Dylan saying it. And,
yeah, well, I think Dylan.
You a local guy?
Yeah, I am, as a matter of fact.
Okay, look. Okay, then I can talk to you one-on-one, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Which is really what I want to do.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, you are. You got a radio there? Can you hear it now? With Dylan, too.
Yeah. Yeah, I can hear it.
Do you want to say anything? Is there anything that anyone can do that you want, that you need, that we can help?
I guess not. You know, what can be done? Here I am.
Well, no, you know.
I want them to start acting on getting some negotiations set up with the West Coast.
Okay, right. Well, now I assume that authorities are doing that, right?
I haven't seen any. I let three hostages go. They wanted to see some good faith. They said if I let this one guy go, they'd get the alarms off. Still, the alarms are ringing. They're doing nothing for me. They're not cooperating with me in any way. I don't know what else to do but to carry out one of my threats, you know, because they're not doing anything.
You mean you've asked them to, first of all, turn the alarms off?
Yeah, right. That's very simple.
I can hear the noise in the background.
Right. Isn't that a drag?
Are those the bank alarms?
Yeah. Well, there's one. Someone opened the door and ran into the basement, you know? And so the alarm went off. They say it's battery, but it should be able to shut it off.
Yeah, okay. Now, we'll have someone in the news department try to get to authorities now to get the sound off, too. Because I can understand that's got to get you up a little tight. Mike Eisgrau is working on that right now. Anything you're asking for, some things that obviously, if they have to make contact with people in other states and so forth, might take some time.
I guess.
Are you able to relax? Are you able to be cool now?
I'm pretty relaxed. If I had a couple of numbers of some good cologne, I could really relax.
Okay. Oh, you don't have that, I'm sure.
No, I don't have any smoke with me. I should have brought a stash.
Can your head, then, can we talk, or can I do something, or is there anyone you would like for me to contact for you?
I'm not in touch with anyone, you know, on the outside world, really. I've been out of touch with everyone. And here I am, by myself.
Is there someone else there with you?
No, I'm by myself.
You are by yourself?
Yeah.
Well, you got quite a responsibility. You got a number of people there. Well, I guess some people are just like you and like me. I guess there's some street people there. And were some of the people customers that you have there?
Yeah, I've got a few customers, and I guess I've got three customers and... And how many? Four customers and three employees.
Okay, and I know you let a couple of people go, right?
I let three people go.
And what?
I let the bank manager go and two customers. You know, this one guy attacked me, man. I had to knock him down, and, you know, I didn't hurt him. I just got him off my back.
You know? Why did you let him go? Did you give him a message?
No message.
Something you needed?
He was just a hassle. He had terrible vibes. He was bad vibes all the way. He just, you know, in a situation like this, you have to be cool. What else can you do? You know, you have to be cool and wait it out.
Well, that's exactly...
I probably wind up dead, you know. It's the only thing that I can, you know.
No, one of the reasons I think why I'm talking to you and why I think you want to talk, too, is that whatever you do want or whatever, you know, something that begins ends. But if we can keep that from happening, then I would certainly, you know, that's why I'm talking to you, really. In any way, if I can keep you calm and keep the situation calm and see if we can get people together to talk to you and try to get something that you want.
I'd like to get out of here some way alive, but I don't think that's going to happen, you know. I just, you know, because these guys are...
You know, so far, the position you're in, you're certainly not going to be shot or anything, and as long as you're not doing harm to anyone else, no one's going to do harm to you.
In any way.
Can I?
The one guy who did attack me, I just, you know, pushed him back, handcuffed him, and got him out of here.
Can I walk in, talk to you, bring you out, if you are guaranteed that no one is going to shoot you?
Oh, for sure, Scott. I wouldn't mind seeing you in person.
Man, if I came there... and walked in, and you got to recognize my voice, and walked out with you knowing that no one would shoot you, and everyone would be all right. I'm going to tell you, nobody wants to shoot you, and you don't want to shoot anybody else. That's the formation,
but
man.
If I had to, I would, you know. If it was them or me, you know, I would do them. You know?
I don't think it's that way, man. You know, you didn't hurt anybody. You haven't hurt anybody. Don't you understand that?
I'm gonna split for a while. And listen to the radio and try to get some negotiations worked out with these guys. If you want to come down here, you know, or talk more with, I don't mind. I enjoy talking with you. You know about the, you know, I don't. Some of these people will call up.
Hey, you got this number, man?
I can't relate to straight people very well. You know, it's just never been my scene.
Okay, if I'm going to come down there and if I can help, man, I'm going to make it known to them that I'm there. And you know my voice, and if you hear my voice and you want to talk to me, I'll come in there and talk to you, man.
Out of sight.
I'll be the middle person.
Beautiful.
Okay, Cap.
So what do you do? You get off at 6, right?
I get off at 6, and Dennis is going on.
What time is it now?
It's 6:02.
No kidding. Well, I guess that's about it.
This is a special report from WNEW News.
This is John Lyons, and it's all over peacefully.
This is Mike Eisgrau, WNEW News, on the corner of 12th Street and 6th Avenue, where some hostages have been pulled out. And also the man who's been holding them, a man named Cat, apparently has given up and has surrendered to police. This came after an hour and a half during which there was no telephone contact with the man, where the police were trying to shout into the front of that bank, the Bankers Trust Company office, and then try to get him to come out. And for some reason, this man has apparently given up and this long siege, more than 8 hours, is over.
The whole ordeal started at about 3. Police say Fast Ray Olson apparently walked into the bank with a gun. Somebody called police, and the gunman found himself trapped. He turned the gun on the people inside, 10 people, and the siege was on. A few minutes later...
That's okay. It's all right. It's Mike Isgrove. You're in the bank right now, huh?
Yeah.
What's going on?
We're hanging out, man. We're waiting to negotiate to get Patty, the Harrises, and the Oriental chick out of jail, and then also to get $10 million in gold.
Are you one of the people who are holding people hostage?
Yeah. Would I rap to you if I wasn't?
I don't know. You're in the middle of the bank right now, right?
Yes.
And what group are you...
Lebanese Liberation Army.
And who are you holding there? What is the scene there? Can you describe it?
We've got 10 people here, hostages, handcuffed and on the floor, held at gunpoint. And,
have you hurt any of them?
No. No one is injured.
And how many of you are there?
There's two of us.
Two of you?
Yes.
And you're members of the Symbionese Liberation Army?
Yes.
It turned out later that Olson was not connected in any way with the SLA. In our original call, right after Isgrove identified himself as a reporter for WNEW, Olson perked up. Yeah, he said, play some Grateful Dead. He was a fan of WNEW-FM, and he had a radio with him. Isgrove got Olson in touch with WNEW's Scott Muni. Muni was able to convince Olson that somehow Muni could help, and he and Isgrove were whisked downtown by police officials and set up direct contacts with the man inside the bank. It turned out that the gunman became insensible in further contacts, and police now tell us the last three hostages took the gun away from Olson and ended the whole thing. Again, the bank siege is over. Everybody is safe. The gunman is in police custody. I'm John Lyons, WNEW News.
Trucking. I'm going home. Whoa, whoa, baby, back where I belong. Back home, sit down and patch my bones and get back trucking. I'm on, I'm on.
The 20 years of WNEW-FM will return after this.